Welcome into Sports Talk, everybody. Scott Beatty here along with Lauren Tate to pack show for you as we get set for, well, we're going to look back a little bit, but we're also going to look forward to certainly the biggest week of 2017 for Illinois basketball, at least of this season. I'm talking 2017, the calendar year, because we have tonight Wake Forest, Illinois on the road for the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and then two Big Ten games this weekend, Northwestern on the road, and then Maryland at home. And if you're just catching up with life in that aspect, remember two games going on in the Big Ten here in early December because the Big Ten tournament is a week earlier. Next year, it actually will be in late February because they want to play that in Madison Square Garden, so they got to get in their games early this year. So that's why, for the first time in I don't know how long, Lauren, you would know, when was the last time we played Big Ten games this early in a season? Never. It's never been this early.
Not to my knowledge, no.
So three games that are going to tell us a lot about Illinois basketball, and we're going to get into that here in just a moment. Also, Doug Bouchon will join us here in a few minutes from Orange and Blue News. He covers Illinois football. A lot of guys transferring, and we'll just look back here at kind of a final post-mortem on this Illinois season that went 2-10 and was disappointing on a lot of counts, though not high expectations for it. Later on the program, we continue our boys basketball previews, although at this point it's now into the season, but we'll catch up with Tim Lavin from Centennial High School, not too far from here in Champaign. So all of that to get to. A couple of headlines for today to bring you up to speed on what's going on. We just mentioned Illinois basketball tonight. Tip time, 8 o'clock, and our game day coverage, Lauren and I will have that for you starting at 6:30. Network coverage begins at 7 o'clock with Doug Altenberger and joining Brian Barnhart for the first time this year. And then we have Fasteners, et cetera, post-game show afterwards as well. We'll get into this more, but Patrick Nelson reportedly transferring away from Illinois football. The defensive back becomes at least the third that we know about that is transferring away from Illinois football. Trey Watson made that announcement yesterday. So did Gabe Meginson, an offensive lineman. Four awards today for Illinois volleyball. Juniors Jordan Poulter and Allie Bastianelli are repeating as All-Big Ten selections. Rookie Megan Cooney named to the All-Big Ten freshman team. And redshirt sophomore Beth Prince gets the Big Ten Sportsmanship Award as well. And you are probably aware, but in case you missed it, Sunday night, Illinois volleyball selected into the NCAA tournament. A tough draw. They got to go to Seattle, and they play Hawaii first, likely then to face the host Washington on Saturday if they win. So tough draw for them, but nevertheless important to be back in the tournament
it's
for Chris Thomas.
It's tough to draw the team that's the host.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you're likely going to get them in the second match.
Yeah, and that's when it comes to these sports, particularly baseball, softball, volleyball, that is your goal beyond making the tournament is be a 16 or above seed so you can host.
You bet.
Because unlike men's and women's basketball, it's not neutral sites at all until you get to the championship.
Final four.
The final weekend of play, essentially. Yeah. So congratulations to them, and we'll be talking with Chris Thomas and some other players, too, as we go along this week. Other news, the Big Ten announced their all-Big Ten defensive team today. Wisconsin and Michigan getting three players apiece on the all-Big Ten defensive team. No appearances by Illinois players. That's not really a surprise, but Blake Hayes, punter, did get an honorable mention in the media poll I saw.
Can you imagine three better punters than Blake Hayes was for Illinois this year in the league?
That is actually what shocked me is
it's just when you're losing games that you just don't get much credit.
Yeah,
you know?
And if you're winning games, you're not punting a lot.
And you can't just go out and say, well, the guy that averaged 42.2 is better than the guy that averaged 41.2 because you don't know the distance with that. You don't know how many pooch punts he has. You can't judge it on just that aspect. I mean, what about long returns? I mean, I thought Blake Hayes was sensational. I don't know we've ever had a better punter in the last 20 years.
And you're talking about some guys that went on to the Big Ten. Steve Weatherford.
Yeah. He was awful good.
Yeah.
He was awful good. But this guy comes in here from Australia. We didn't know what to expect. Left-footed and just kicked great all year. He had only a few that you would say he could have done better.
and had not played a moment of college football.
No.
Well, obviously, I mean, any kind of American football
right.
until he got here. But the skills were there, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's kicking on Sundays someday. New York Giants and NFL news are changing quarterbacks. No more Eli Manning under center. It'll be Geno Smith for the first time in 13 years. The Giants are 2-9. They face Oakland on Saturday. Golf, Tiger Woods is headed back to competition. He'll be in the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas this week. It's an 18-man field with no cut. He says he's on the other side of relying on pain medication for an ailing back and that he's now loving life. See if he ever can make it back. Was once, without a doubt, the greatest golfer on tour and was, I think you could still put him up there on that Mount Rushmore of golfers, probably.
Oh, I think he and Nicklaus were the top two. I mean,
yeah.
You can't go back beyond that because they hit it so much further now. I mean, those guys wouldn't have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Illinois and Wake Forest tonight. One of the questions is what kind of Wake Forest team are the Illini going to see? They started out real poor. They opened up their season with a loss to Georgia Southern, which is a decent mid-major program, but Wake Forest struggled out of the gate. They're now 2-4. They do have a big man in Dorrell Moore Jr., who was once targeted by the Illini. He's 7'1" and averaging double figures at 10.3. The Illini, of course, are 6-0, but you know what? This is the toughest game the Illini are going to have any way you slice it, because it's a road game, and you and I were just talking about this before we took the air. It's hard to win a basketball game on the road.
It really is, especially early in the season, because you just have to get acclimated to playing on the road, and the first game or two are really tough. You saw what happened when Illinois went to Eastern this year. It wasn't an official game. It was an exhibition game, but there were a lot of fans there, and there was a lot of competition feeling there, and Illinois got whooped.
Illinois, though, has had the benefit of good success from their bench. Two guys coming off the bench in double figures in Aaron Jordan and Kipper Nichols, both north of 11 points a game. Trent Frazier averaging 7. Demonte Williams not scoring as much, but Brad Underwood has been really pleased all in all with Demonte and what the guys are doing overall.
Obviously, Aaron, Kipper get a lot of the attention. In terms of their productivity, but equally so, Demonte Williams, Trent Frazier, those guys have been equally as important. Their numbers don't show that. Having an impact off the bench and having productivity, and in a lot of cases, better productivity coming from our bench than what we've had in the starting lineup at times. So Aaron and Kipper in particular, their productivity over 40 minutes is off the chart, and yet they're only playing, half the game, so to speak. So we feel very good about what our bench has brought to us at this point.
Does that mean some of these guys maybe move into starting roles?
I like it when we put guys in who can impact the game, not just with effort, but with productivity on the glass, with productivity scoring, and now you've got fresh bodies in there. And Trent Frazier's had moments where he's been extremely productive offensively. And so, you know, we're coming in with firepower, so to speak, and I like that. And our guys are bought into that. And
it's been really tremendous. I don't think you can say enough about what this bench has done for the Illini in the first six ball games. Now, as you get into better competition, maybe that comes down a notch, but I don't really see some of these guys that are coming off the bench as significant steps down in ability.
No. I think that he's keeping the lineup the same, but that's not necessarily his best five players. What you need to do is look who's in there the last 10 minutes. That's his starting lineup.
And who has it been?
Well, it hasn't always been Allstork.
That's right. And Kipper has been in there. And yeah, Kipper's been a little hot and cold, but...
Well, that's right, but and fouls have something to do with it. But I think that I don't know. It varies. It hasn't been the same every time. There was a couple games there earlier when Demonte Williams was in at the end of the game. He had 17 minutes in the second half of one of those games. So I just think that he's staying with the lineup because everybody's comfortable with it. He's starting the lineup that he figured would be the lineup way before the season started. This was in anticipation of what Allstrook would be, and he hasn't been that.
And you said it, he has a tremendous amount of trust right now for Demonte Williams. That's a big factor that I don't think can be quantified easily, that in some key moments he gets Demonte in there, not to score, but just to sort of, he's got an even keel presence. He plays a little bit older than a freshman, And, you know, I don't think that he cares that much whether he gets a lot of points out of DeMonte.
Oh, no, I don't think he's expecting points out of DeMonte right now. But DeMonte moves the ball, plays good defense, and he just seems to have a head for the game. Got long arms, and he's quick. So I don't know. We'll watch tonight and see who he has. Of course, he substitutes so much, so it's not going to be the same group at any particular time. I mean, he'll probably bring in three or four guys off the bench in the first 5 minutes. He does every other game.
It's more like a hockey line change than
it is.
A regular one-for-one substitution. And sometimes guys are getting substituted because they did something he didn't like.
Well, now that's when he brings in one guy.
Yeah.
But that first substitution is when he brings in three or four, that's planned.
Yeah, absolutely. So Illinois and Wake Forest playing for the first time since December 1st, 2004 here at Champaign at the then Assembly Hall. Illinois was ranked fifth. Wake Forest was number one in the country. You had Chris Paul on Wake Forest's side. You had Darren Williams, D. Brown, Luther Head for Illinois, of course. And that was a milestone moment for the program and that season because, well, obviously Illinois went on to become number one after that. They had to go beat Arkansas, too, after that. But they were in number one in the poll. But just it showed everybody that this is a top program this year with that win, which was really convincing.
It really was. They blew them away. It was amazing.
But you were also noting this before the program started. Nobody was going to come in and win in Champaign that year.
No, they won every game in the regular season to the final game, and then they lost on a last 3-point shot at Ohio State, and they finished 37-2, and they missed their last in that championship game against North Carolina. I have to look it up, and the number of threes they took, I think it was over 40. It was a lot of three, and they missed their last 10. They just need to hit a couple shots at the end. They win the game.
Sometimes those big dome places are not easy to shoot in. I don't know what it is. A hot shooting team can get into those big arenas, and the depth perception is different.
Depth perception is bad.
And you're in front of 70,000 people or whatever it is, and you're usually in arenas for 15,000 to 20,000. The whole thing is just different. Of course, they had no trouble beating Louisville, but you know, when you're a team that has to rely on a lot of that, it's hard.
Well, North Carolina was well rested. They hadn't had to go to class. Right?
I love it. I love it. That's why I love having you on here. All right. We will talk Illinois football. We'll try not to dwell on it too much after a 2-10 season, but what now for Lovey Smith and company? Doug Bouchon from Orange and Blue News joins us next.
Hi, it's Dave Gentry. Join us on the DWS Morning Show for Champaign County Chief Deputy Alan Jones. That's Wednesday morning on DWS.
525 Sports Talk. Scott Beatty and Lauren Tate with you. And coming up, we get to come on the program. We'll talk with Tim Lavin, Centennial Boys basketball coach. 6:30, our game day coverage starts for Illinois basketball against Wake Forest. It's now in the rearview mirror, but still some lingering things to dissect here. Doug Bouchon joins us to talk Illinois football. You can find him at orangeandbluenews.com. Doug, good evening. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate it. Look, obviously a disappointing season. You wanted more out of this team. I don't know if you could have expected a ton more in terms of wins, but this was a young football team that failed to perform very much towards the end of it as the team got beat up and pretty thin in their depth. What's the outlook here from this point? Because it feels dark given that you had a 10-game losing streak, but the word has been hope and it's a rebuilding process and it's going to get better. Do you see it that way too?
Not altogether. Not the company line that's being pushed a little bit. I think when you look at that 2-10, there's not much to take away from that that's positive other than a lot of freshmen playing. There were some breakout kids like Ricky Smalling, Louise Dorsey, really liked what you saw from those kids. But then you start looking at some scores and you think, you know, they didn't make progress as far as being more competitive. You know, 28-6 in Nebraska, 45-16 to Iowa, 42-7 to Northwestern. That was a real hard pill to swallow, you know, and you look at the fans at the end of that game and the Memorial Stadium is mostly purple and really hard one to swallow for the fans. You know, I think when Josh Whitman spoke last week, he made some good points. He talked about the injuries. He talked about the youth of the team, the freshmen playing. And it was a good freshman class. There's some promising players. But I think he was only telling part of the story. The other part of the story is there's some other coaches out there winning in year two of their tenure. And Illinois didn't make progress in year two under Lovey Smith. So I would say right now, I wouldn't say it's a negative outlook. I would say it's incomplete. And they got a lot to prove next year when they take the field in 2018.
What do you make of the handful of transfers that have been announced here in the last 3 days? Surprising, concerning? How do you look at those?
Not surprising. I know they're going through exit interviews and they're talking to players. And Lovey Smith's very honest with kids and how he envisions their future with the program. But the depth on this team is not good. And you got a very young team, and you're starting to lose people who have been in the program for a while. And I think Patrick Nelson's probably the biggest loss. That starting strong safety, he decided today he's going to transfer. Then Trey Watson, the middle linebacker. Those two guys were the third and fourth leading tackler on this defense. Now, it's not a good defense. The defense was ranked, I think, 12th overall in the Big Ten, last in rushing defense, and those are two guys, Nelson and Watson, who made a lot of tackles, but made a lot of tackles downfield, 6-7 yards downfield. So, those are a lot. Maybe you got players that can replace those guys, but you can't really replace the depth or the experience. So I think it's going to hurt. You look at Gabe Megginson, kind of a disappointment because he came in as a four-star kid on some services, an Under Armour All-American and all that kind of stuff. And you figured he would develop a little better, but he got beat out by freshmen this year, kind of struggled.
This is Lauren. You said last – you're the guru in terms of recruiting. And tell me, was Illinois last in recruiting in the Big Ten – at this time a year ago? Of course, the signing wasn't until February then, was it? But now we've got signing coming up December 20. Was Illinois last at this stage?
They were. I can't remember if they were dead last, but they were certainly down toward the bottom, and they finished in the bottom quarter of the conference too when they signed the team and, signed the class in February. But as we saw on the field, the class was better than it was on paper. They got some work to do. It's a 14-man class right now, ranked 13th in the Big Ten on Rivals. Nebraska dropped down to last, and a lot of work to do. The thing I worry, they're good evaluators of talent. I think they proved that. They got some players that are going to be pretty good. But what concerns me is the lack of headliners in the class. You got a kid in Calvin Avery, the defensive tackle, who's really good, kid out of Texas, who's a wrecking ball D tackle, and he's the headliner in the class. But after that, you got some kids that you don't know how good they're going to be for sure, three-star or two-star kids. I like the quarterback, MJ Rivers. He's a big kid who can throw and run. I like the wide receiver, Carlos Sandy, out of Florida. But a lot of work to do, and they're out there on the trail right now trying to get some kids to commit to the class.
Well, they got 10 possible openings. By the time they clean out some of the veterans that are obviously going to leave, more are going to leave, I'm told. Can they match last year's freshman class with these if they close fast with these 10?
No, I don't think so. Just because it's not going to be as big as a class, probably. With the early signing period in December, probably can't match the class. But I think they can still go out there and get some kids. They had a coach in St. Louis yesterday looking at Dallas Craddy at the safety from there, who they're really high on, would like to get him. And Iowa and Nebraska and Indiana are all on him pretty hard. They were down in Florida at IMG Academy trying to flip the linebacker, Idelodeo, and the offensive center, Verus Brown, talking to him. Then up in Chicago, of course, looking at players, and down in Texas. So they're going to work hard at it and try to get some kids. And whether or not they match last year's class, I don't know. But they want to finish strong, and they're going to try to do that.
Well, how much of last year's class has overachieved in your view? How much better are we than you thought we would be when we brought these players in?
Well, they played more than I thought they'd play. As far as the impact guys, I think you look at Ricky Smalley, and you expected that from him, really good player. But then you look at a kid like Bobby Roundtree, under-recruited kid out of Largo, Florida, turned out to be better than his rating. I think Rivals might have upgraded him to a three-star, but he was a two-star at one point, definitely overperformed. And then the safety, Bennett Williams, nobody expected that out of him coming out of California, two-star kid. Looks like a future pro at free safety. Was probably might have been their defensive MVP this year. So there was definitely some kids overachieved. There's some kids who were what you expected, and then there's some kids who were a little bit of disappointment, but not too many of those.
Doug, where do you see the Illini compared to the other programs that are trying to turn around after varying successes or not? You know, and I'm thinking particularly of Purdue and Indiana and Minnesota in the Big Ten West, in particular. You know, compared to what the other programs have to do, what kind of battle is Illinois facing?
They're in a pretty deep hole. You know, they started. You know, Josh Whitman talked about starting behind the start finish line. If you're a long distance runner, it was kind of a position they were in. You know, they had very limited number of upperclassmen. It's hard to compete in the Big Ten when you can't match up physically. But you look at a program like Purdue, and you look at their depth chart, and they had a lot of seniors and a lot of fifth year guys in the starting lineup. So, Jeff Brom probably started from a little better place. But then I look at an Iowa State and what the Matt Campbell was able to do over there, and the previous coach Paul Rhodes over there. He won 8 games in 3 years before he left, and his recruiting classes were not very good. So that's fans look at that. They look at a guy like Matt Campbell at Iowa State going to a bowl game, beating a Oklahoma team that's top 4 in the country, and that's in year 2. And they wonder why we can't do that at Illinois. Minnesota, I'm not sold on PJ Fleck, and they finished the season not very well. They're a physical team, a little older than Illinois, but kind of in the same boat, I think, there as far as rebuilding.
Yeah, they just lost their quarterback as well. He says Demry Croft is leaving the program. Set a rushing record there for the Badgers. But, you expect next year to be, the year you get to 5, 6, 7 wins. I don't know if it comes next year.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. You look at the schedule, and it's kind of the same thing as this year. And it's going to rely on a few things. Number one, they really have to find a quarterback. And I don't think fans should give up on Cam Thomas. He's a skilled guy. He's a good athlete. He's a smart kid who picks up on the playbook quickly. It's going to be a huge spring for Cam Thomas. Working on his fundamentals, becoming a more accurate passer, which is really his bugaboo right now. He misses a lot of open receivers. Really, and then the two kids coming in the fall, MJ Rivers and Coran Taylor. That quarterback position is going to be real key for him. Getting in the weight room and these freshmen getting bigger and stronger is huge for him. They got a good strength and conditioning coach, I think. And, on both sides of the ball, on the line, on defensive line and offensive line, they got to get stronger. So, big off season. If they do win, it'll be a surprise, especially the people in the national media who are getting really skeptical about the program.
The two big glaring areas in my mind, and it's well documented, obviously the offense's inability to produce, but also special teams. As great as Blake Hay was, and Chase McLaughlin as a place kicker was consistent enough, but there was a lot of other sort of bungled moments out there special teams-wise. How do you think Lovie Smith addresses that in the offseason? Some of the coordinators and assistants have been open to some criticism. Boy, I don't know if that's fair, but certainly there has been underperformance.
Yeah, what I think Coach Smith has to do is do the same thing he's doing with the players. So just to be fair, he's doing exit interviews with those guys. He's being really honest. He needs to do that with his coaching staff. He's got a decision to make on a 10th assistant. He's got some coaches on his staff that I think, if you look at their performance, it's been a little bit subpar. And he needs to think about what's best for his program. Who can he bring in that will be both a guy who can develop the young players and plus be really effective on the recruiting trail? So he needs to look at that coaching staff and make some hard decisions. The offense, you can look at the youth, but the bottom line was they were number 127 in the country out of 130 D1 teams. And the three teams below them, two of them fired their head coach, and the other one was Rutgers, and they're looking at their offensive coordinator. So, you really have to think about what kind of staff you want to put together. He's got a $4 million budget. That's a pretty hefty price tag for assistant coaching staff that went 2-10. So he's got to look at that. There's no doubt about it. Special teams. There were some instances where it really hurt him. 12 men on the field. You just can't have that. But, the kicking game was pretty good. The kick coverage game and then the punt coverage game was pretty good. But just really no explosive return guys, and that really hurt them, especially after Mike Dudek got hurt. So there's room for improvement there for sure.
Doug Bouchon is with us from orangeandbluenews.com on Twitter. He's at Illinois Rivals.
Doug, do you ever see any possibility of high school coaches coming in? Illinois, the state's got some really good. The guy at Rochester, you know, has just been amazing. And I would somebody like that have anything to offer at this level?
Sure. You know, if you think they can coach at that level, the offense at Rochester under Derek over there is a college offense. You know, people will be skeptical to look at it and say, well, it's a high school offense. They're 4A. But they're a really complex passing game. They run if you ever watch them play, they run a combination of routes that frees up their wide receivers. You know, they don't necessarily have burning speed at the wide receiver position, but they run clearing routes. They can run misdirection and they get guys open. And that's something Illinois has really been missing. And people have been talking about Corey Patterson, the coach down at Trinity High School in St. Louis.
Yeah, is he interested?
He's a guy you'd bring on as a recruiter.
Yeah,
I don't know how interested he is. We'd have to talk to him, but. When you got 10 guys on your staff, I think if you have, if you're solid at the position coaches, and you got guys who are experienced at the college level and proven recruiters, then maybe you can take a chance on a high school guy and bring him in as a recruiter and put him as a cornerback coach or a safety coach or something like that, and just let him get out there on the street and recruit.
But how much impact can a coach have on an offense or defense if he isn't the coordinator? I mean, basically, you're just taking orders. I mean, the offense is taking orders from McGee. I mean, Butkus is basically taking orders from McGee. So I don't know how much of an impact he can have other than he can coach the guys on the field. But the strategy comes from above.
That's right. And that's the elephant in the room right now. I think you have to look at Garrick McGee. As much as I like Coach McGee, really likable guy. He's experienced. He coached with good people and learned the game. But you cannot overlook the number 127 offense in the country. You can't overlook a running game that's really bland and vanilla and not a whole lot of misdirection. Receivers that aren't getting open, just not moving the ball and putting points on the board. So I think you have to look at that. And, you know, maybe it was the fact that he didn't feel like he had the horses to kind of open up the entire playbook, you know, but the play calling wasn't great. And so that's something Levy has to look at. And you look around college football, and these offensive-minded coaches, they're able to win pretty early in their tenures, and they're able to be innovative and get guys open and move the ball.
You know, there was people in Chicago that didn't like the offense from Lovey Smith either. Is there a thread there of how Lovey handles his offensive coordinators and his offense that has to be looked at as well?
A little bit, you know. He's concerned. He makes the final decisions on when to go for it on third, on fourth and one, when to kick a field goal, that kind of stuff. But the scheme, I think, is Garrett McGee's scheme. He brought it with him from Louisville. It's Petrino's scheme, and Lovey's is a defensive minded coach, obviously, and a ball control type of coach. But I think it has more to do with the scheme that Garrett McGee brought with him from Louisville, which really relies on playmakers, you know, at the quarterback position and the big offensive lineman and a strong running game. Not something that Illinois has been able to build here. They're working toward it, you know, with some young offensive linemen that have some beef to them, but they're not there yet, obviously.
Doug, before we let you go, I don't know how much you dive into the rest of the Big Ten, but what is your brief thought? Should the winner of Wisconsin and Ohio State be in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for Ohio State just because, you know, I think Auburn is another two-loss team, you know, and I think with the wins that they got, it's going to be tough. But I personally, I'd like to see Wisconsin win out. You know, I'm not supposed to be a fan, I know, but I'd love to see them win out, go undefeated, and go to the college football playoff. Ohio State's got a shot, depending on how things shake out, but I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for them.
Hey, Doug, appreciate your time as always, especially here during the season. But we'll be talking with you from time to time to catch up on the program, especially on the recruiting end. Appreciate it. Enjoy a bit of an off season from the football side of things, at least.
Yeah, I'm just glad basketball season's here, right? I'm looking forward to that.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Doug.
All right. Thank you.
Doug Bouchon at orangeandbluenews.com. You can follow him at Illinois Rivals and has a good beat on what Illinois is trying to do recruiting wise. It's a long road. It just feels Josh Whitman was in that 0-12 team or 0-11, whatever it was, back in 1997, And I think that's why he said, I bought into Ron Turner. I bought into everything. We knew where we were headed even when others didn't. And that's sort of what he is now preaching with Illinois football. I know where this is going, even if you can't see it right now after two really poor seasons.
Well, they've made a commitment to this class.
And
they've made a commitment to these, and these guys have to grow as expected.
And they've made a commitment, obviously, to Lovey. And I think if there's not a lot of success next year, people are going to be upset with Lovey.
Well, they already are.
Well, there's some of them are, but I don't know that you could have reasonably asked for a ton more than what you got this year. You know, you would have liked to see four or five wins, but this was never going to be a bowl team. My point is, if things get rocky for Lovey next year, you're still committed to him. You're riding with Lovey here for a while, and that's fine. But it's going to be difficult, harder to navigate, and harder to, you know, harder to have answers for if Lovey doesn't turn things around next year.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to answer for, but they can't do anything about it because he's going to be the coach. He's got a 6-year contract, and his the money increases as we go. And when you're going to make $5 million in a year, it's not easy to fire, although people all over the country are doing it. All over the country are doing it. 13 coaches that we had on the list as of Monday morning, 13 coaches are owed $60 million.
Wow. We turn back to basketball in a moment, both Illinois and high school basketball, as Centennial head coach Tim Lavin will be our guest as well. Stay with us, Sports Talk. Illinois basketball coming up tonight. 8 o'clock the tip in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, Rutgers and Florida State. Also, Georgia Tech and Northwestern, Purdue and Louisville, and Virginia Tech and Iowa.
Who are you picking, Purdue and Louisville?
Woo. That's at Purdue. I'll give Purdue the edge. But
Purdue's lost a couple of tough games. Yeah. They're about due to win one like that.
Yeah, that's why I'll give them the edge, but I wouldn't think that confidently. Michael Finke, the Illini redshirt junior, says it'll be a test for them on defense.
Obviously, our defense is designed to try and take the team out of what they're running. We're trying to not let them reverse the ball, just really get up in their face and just cause a commotion and stuff like that. So Wake Forest is a really good team personnel-wise. They have a lot of talent, so it'll be a good test for us. But I think the biggest thing defensively is transition defense. That's something we keep preaching in practice and just getting back, talking, communicating, just getting matched up with people. So that'll be good for us.
And it'll be interesting to see how they handle a 7-footer as well. I think he told me you just have to use your speed and you have to get after it. Don't deny the pass. That's the key. Don't let them get it down there in the first place, and then you can be in a good situation.
Well, he's a big, awful big guy in terms of weight, so I don't suppose he jumps too high. But he doesn't have to.
He just reaches up, and he's there.
That's right.
All right, Tim Lavin is the head coach for Centennial Boys Basketball. As we continue our boys basketball preview tour, although it's because of the Thanksgiving week and all that bled into the beginning of the season. Now, I recorded this conversation with Tim just a little while ago and then was informed that Tim Lavin has recently reached his 300th career win at Centennial. But, of course, he's too deferential to bring that up on his own, so I want to make sure it's known. But we didn't talk about that because he didn't make it known either. I learned it after the fact. But nevertheless, here's Tim Lavin. Tim Lavin, head coach of the Centennial Chargers, with us now. Tim, appreciate your time. Into the season now at 2-3. How would you size things up so far?
Well, actually pretty good. I do have three starters back, but after that, it's a lot of inexperience. Some younger guys, some guys who were on varsity didn't play much last year. And I thought, besides the Danville game, I thought we played, you know, for first time out this year, I thought we played pretty good this past week. So still got a long ways to go, a lot of things to work on, but felt pretty good about the first week.
This is nothing new for you to get a fairly large crop of new players. Do you enjoy that challenge every year or every other year when it comes where you go, I've got to kind of start over with my guys?
Well, I mean, preferably I'd like to have some more, you know, veteran guys. I think any coach would tell you that. But, you know, it's a fun challenge to get new guys going in the right direction. But, you know, we had some guys that left and and are at one of our neighboring schools and left over the off season, you know, and so it kind of put us in a little hole. So it might take us a little while to, you know, develop some guys and new guys in the system. So it's a nice challenge, and hopefully it'll go well.
We're talking with Tim Lavin. He's the head coach of the Centennial Chargers boys basketball team. Tim, 10-19 last year. I know you'd like to finish out better than that. What will be key for you guys to do this year that maybe didn't happen last year?
Well, last year we when we started the season, I thought we were going to shoot the ball much better than we did to start the season, and we really struggled at the beginning. Then the second half of the season, we shot the ball like I thought we would shoot it. So, you know, it's important for us to get off to a good early start as far as shooting goes. I haven't really looked at the stats yet for the first five games, but for us to do well, I think we need to shoot the ball well early and get confident. And hopefully the new guys will not only shoot the ball well, but more confidence they get, more confident they get in figuring things out. And then we're going to have to defend better than we did at the beginning of last year. I thought we were, again, besides the Danville game, I thought we defended pretty well this past week, and we're going to have to continue to do that. So definitely the shooting, and then hopefully these inexperienced guys get experienced quickly.
Are there things you do now as a coach that you didn't do, say, 5, 10, 15 years ago, either that you've decided to do just to switch things up or you've learned through experience?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, I guess I'm kind of maybe a little old school and kind of stubborn in my ways. I think the system that we've established when I first got here is a pretty good system, and we pretty much have stuck to it. There are some times where maybe I wish maybe you look at some things different and change up a little bit, but I just feel the system we have in place, if we do things well year in and year out, I think we'll continue to do well. So we really haven't changed a whole lot, maybe a couple things here and there, tinker a little bit, but we've kind of stayed with what's had success in the past, and hopefully we'll continue.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Looking at a couple of key guys, Jaden Roberts-Thomas, Bryson Cowper, Tommy McAboo, what are you getting out of them right now?
Well, what I expected. All three have been defending really well. Bryson shot the ball pretty well this past week, and Tommy as well. You know, being the experienced players and being back, you know, they definitely have to give us a lot of offense. I'm hoping Jaden will give us a little more offensively. He had a great week as far as just all around game. I think sometimes he's too unselfish. Hopefully he'll take a few more shots when shots are available. But so far they've done pretty well. You know, offensively, certainly from Bryson and Tommy and Jaden, just a good all around everything but shooting, which I'd like him to do a bit more. Hopefully, you know, now that football is out of the way, you'll get a little more confidence in the shooting and shoot a little bit more. I think that'll help us out a bit.
Coach, we appreciate a bit of your time, and best of luck through the rest of the season. We'll know we'll be seeing you a few times at your gym.
Okay, thank you.
Tim Lavin with us from Centennial High School. And tomorrow we'll announce our high school schedule of broadcasts as well for the basketball season. Lauren and I are back in a moment. -61 degrees at 5:58 on Sports Talk. Scott and Lauren with you. We are back. We're going to step aside for just a little bit here. Come back with you at the bottom of the hour for Illini Game Day and the Reedy Wealth Management pregame show. Illinois and Wake Forest and their edition of the Big Ten ACC Challenge for this year. Lauren, we'll talk about it there, but I'll ask you now, how are you sizing this one up?
Well, I don't like our chances, but I think it would be a great win for Illinois if they can pull it off. I just don't think defensively we're very good, and we're shooting at foreign baskets, and that's two bad things. And
yeah.
But I think Wake Forest is vulnerable, and certainly both teams are vulnerable.
Yeah, Wake Forest at 2-4, coming off a loss to Houston. A win over UNC Greensboro, but before that, a loss to Houston.
They also lost to Drake.
Yeah, and to Georgia Southern. and a Liberty.
Yeah.
So we'll see
it's
what
not
we
a
get.
Good team.
No. It's very beatable. But Illinois on the road for the first time, and we saw what happened at EIU.
Yeah.
Lauren, we'll see you soon. Thanks a lot. Thanks to Blake Landa behind the scenes as well. Thanks for our guests, Doug Bouchon and Tim Lavin. Thanks most of all for you and lending your ears as well. We're back with Fighting Illini Game Day in 30 minutes. It's Newstalk 1400, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. CBS World News Roundup is next.